This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Labor Day, September 3rd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at one northern Illinois city and a political awakening there among immigrants. We'll also have our forecast for the last part of the holiday as well as the work week. First of all, a look at today's news. An autopsy is scheduled for today on the body of a toddler who reportedly drowned in a Danville swimming pool. Vermilion County Coroner Peggy Johnson says 20-month-old Katie Inglesby was pronounced dead yesterday at Danville's Proveni United Samaritans Medical Center. Johnson says she drowned in the family's backyard pool. A longtime Illinois congressman is predicting a tough road ahead for the National Republican Party. U.S. Representative Ray LaHood of Peoria is retiring next year. He's confident his district will stay Republican. But as for other open congressional seats?
Some of them will be tough to hold on to, but I think generally we'll be fine. We're not going to win back the House, however, simply because the war is going to be a huge issue, and the presidential campaign is going to take a lot of people's time and energy and attention. And you can see the Democrats are playing the war up very, very, very heavily.
LaHood says things look brighter for the state GOP and the Illinois House. He says fights between top Democrats in the state have left, in his words, a wonderful opportunity for the Republican Party. Governor Rob Blagojevich has approved a loan program to help northern Illinois towns reforest some areas that have been hit by tree-killing emerald ash borers. The bill provides loans for local governments to replant trees on public lands infested by the small metallic green beetle, but the governor still needs to receive funding for the program. In a statement, he says he'll request a $2 million allocation in a capital spending bill. Communities in an 18-county area that have had their ash wood quarantined to prevent the beetle spread are eligible for those loans. The first emerald ash borer was found in Illinois in 2006. Starting tomorrow, the state's historic sites will be open to the public a little less often. Amanda Vinicky has more.
It's not a result of budget cuts. It's just resuming the normal schedule. Dave Blanchette is with Illinois' Historic Preservation Agency. He says sites operated by the agency had been open to the public 7 days a week since Memorial Day. But come Labor Day, they will only be open 5 days a week.
We encourage people to call before they visit to make sure what the days and hours of operation are. But it's been a very successful summer tourism season, and we hope people will be understanding about the change in hours.
Blanchette says two-thirds of all visits to Illinois' historic sites are made between Memorial and Labor Day. Keeping the sites open extra during the summer costs the state an additional $500,000. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The number of Indiana residents without health insurance fell by about 84,000 last year. That's according to new Census Bureau figures that have left state officials puzzled. Mitch Robe is the secretary of the Indiana Family and Social Services Administration. He says the decline is welcome news, but he says it's hard to explain. The Census Bureau's new American Community Survey released last week also reported the number of Hoosiers living in poverty continued to rise last year. That report showed 748,000 Hoosiers, nearly one in eight, were without health insurance in 2006, but that was down from 832,000 the year before. Indiana is pushing ahead with efforts to expand health care coverage through several state-sponsored programs, including the Healthy Indiana Plan, which is scheduled to begin next January. This is the time of year when migrating birds appear in Chicago's Loop, but many of them meet an unhappy fate. Sam Hudzik reports there are people waiting below to help.
They call themselves Chicago's Bird Collision Monitors. The volunteers survey the loop for sparrows, oven birds, and brown creepers. The birds are attracted by office lobby lights, trees, and fountains, and then hit a wall of glass. Annette Prince is the group's director. She says live birds are put in a paper bag and driven to a wildlife refuge for rest.
Many of the birds, and the majority of the birds, need no further treatment. They need the time to recover from what is essentially a mild concussion or, you know, a bump to the head.
Those are the lucky ones. Earlier this week, volunteers found 50 birds downtown. 30 were dead. Prince says her group is ready for the season, but still looking for help. Last fall, they recovered close to 3,000 birds. I'm Sam Hudzik.
We have an adjusted programming schedule on this Labor Day holiday, but for the latest newscast during the week, You can go online to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Latino immigrants are increasing their numbers in suburbs throughout the Chicago area. They're contributing to the economic and social life of those communities, but in few places have they made any major inroads into elected offices. Many suburban immigrants say it's time for them to play a greater role in local politics, and that's got some longtime residents worried. Illinois Public Radio's Chip Mitchell reports on a political awakening among immigrants in Waukegan.
Waukegan Mayor Richard Hyde says he's got a button under his desk.
Here's the button right here. Press it here. There'll be two officers walking here with guns pointed right at your head.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Since taking office 5 years ago, Mayor Hyde has been on a mission. He wants Waukegan to recover the reputation it had before tens of thousands of blue-collar jobs along the lakefront began disappearing in the 1970s.
We want to get this old cliche of saying, well, go to Waukegan, heck, they don't do nothing there, or you're from Waukegan, you know, hell, stay back, stay there. You know, and it's slowly starting to change now because people are beginning to realize that I'm serious in turning this town around.
Mayor Hyde says the turnaround means reviving the economy, and that's not all.
The general population in Waukegan, all races are getting fed up with lawbreakers.
So the city started to crack down. Waukegan began charging drivers caught without a license $500 to recover their car from the impound lot. The policy has frustrated undocumented immigrants who aren't allowed a license in Illinois. The city also intensified its housing inspections, again rankling many immigrants.
Okay, we got criticized yesterday because they red-tagged the house. And they went in there, and it was full of fleas. Unbelievable. Well, these are health hazards.
Then came word the city was considering sending police officers for training to initiate deportations. Thousands of Mexicans and Central Americans protested the plan outside city council meetings this summer. Margaret Carrasco helped lead the protests.
This is our community, and no one can take it away from us, and we're not moving anywhere.
The council, nevertheless, voted overwhelmingly for the police training. Many Waukegan immigrants say they're not getting the political representation they deserve. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, more than half of Waukegan's population is now Latino, and more than a third of city residents are immigrants. Yet the city council's nine members include just two Latinos, both Puerto Rican, and no immigrants. Political scientists say that's typical of places where immigrants have settled. Many immigrants can't vote because they're not citizens. Those that are tend to be young and poor. And most immigrants in Waukegan grew up in Mexico under one-party rule. They're not used to running for office.
The Latino community is still in the process of politically maturing.
Silvia Puente heads the Metropolitan Chicago Initiative of Notre Dame's Institute for Latino Studies.
It's going to take a long time before we see those activists get to the point where they're willing or able to run for elected office.
One of the city's largest organizations, the Tonatico Social Club, takes its name from a Mexican town where thousands of Waukegans have roots. The club's president, Miguel Arismendi, has lived in Waukegan for 30 years, but he says he'd never consider running for office.
Soy muy tímido para hablar en inglés.
He says he's too shy to speak publicly in English. But Arismendi did feel bold enough to help organize this summer's protests. And those protests galvanized Waukegan's immigrants. An old red brick school serves as the immigrant center of Holy Family, Waukegan's largest Catholic parish. Since the center opened last year, about 1,500 people have filled out citizenship applications in the gymnasium.
And it's several pages that we need to fill out.
Maria Luisa Lopez is applying 11 years after arriving from Mexico. She and her husband run a Waukegan payroll company. As a citizen, Lopez says, she'll be a stronger advocate for the town's undocumented immigrants.
They're afraid, they're scared, they don't want to go out. So we feel responsible for them because it's our people, it's our community.
Several groups are also planning to step up Latino voter registration and leadership development efforts in Waukegan. And there's a new group in town.
We're going to do secretary. Anybody else? Raise your hand if you're voting for VNA. We don't have to ask her to leave.
The Waukegan Leadership Committee elected its officers last week. The committee includes some three dozen Latino businessmen, professionals, and religious activists. The president is one of the city's most successful realtors, Porfirio Garcia.
Part of the agenda is to look for leaders that are interested in running for government office, put ourselves in a position where with the 12 million people that are here illegally can become legal.
But efforts to bring more Latinos into politics are raising some fears in Waukegan.
They could be legal immigrant, but then again, you don't know if they're really fighting for the legals or the illegals. And there's a fine line there.
At a diner on Waukegan's north side, a single mother named Karen Van Hursley says immigrants strain public resources.
If you're having four different families living in one household, there's three sets of families' taxes the schools aren't getting, the city isn't getting.
And Van Hursley sees a bigger issue.
We are a melting pot, but it's not going to be melting pot if they're all from one region.
What region?
South. That seems to be our biggest issue.
And welcome back to WKRS 1220, your voice in Lake County. This is Fred Flanagan. You are on.
Van Hursley and many other critics of illegal immigrants tune into this evening call-in show. The host, Fred Flanagan, is a Waukegan native who organized a pro-enforcement conference in nearby Grays Lake this summer. Flanagan is a libertarian, but enforcing immigration law also appeals to many Republicans and to some Democrats, like Waukegan Alderman Richard Larson. At a city council meeting this summer, Larson lauded the police training plan.
We are simply supporting our police department in fighting crime. Nothing sinister or new is involved.
Another Democrat, Mayor Hyde, insists Waukegan hasn't turned against immigrants.
Even our undocumented Hispanic families, they're super families.
But Hyde does offer them some advice.
With all of the gangs that are going on, and all this business of driving without licenses, having accidents, creating a tremendous amount of damage, if you just stay under the radar, don't bring attention to yourself.
Staying under the police radar may be wise, but Waukegan's immigrants say staying out of politics is no longer an option. Mayor Hyde, a former high school coach, says bring it on.
When you have a team, you put the best people that you can possibly get in a starting lineup. If you want my position, beat me.
Waukegan's next election is in 2009. I'm Chip Mitchell.
We've got a couple of summer-like days in front of us, then a chance of rain. In fact, the whole week will be summer-like. Only we'll have a chance of showers and thunderstorms moving in by about Thursday. Our forecast for today, Labor Day, sunny and a high of around 90 with light northwest winds. For tonight, clear and a low of 58. Winds will be light from the northeast, becoming south after midnight. Sunny and hot tomorrow with a high of 92, light southwest winds. Clear tomorrow night, the low 62 with light south winds. And for Wednesday, sunny and a high of 93. Partly cloudy Wednesday night and then mostly cloudy Thursday and Thursday night with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Maybe a little bit more sun on Friday, but still a chance of rain. And highs on Thursday in the upper 80s, Friday only in the mid-80s. Lows Wednesday night in the mid-60s and in the upper 60s for Thursday and Friday nights. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, September 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.